Blog Talk Radio.
There is a legend of two men out on the sports prairie. Two lonesome men that can wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. It is the legend of El Presidente and his faithful sidekick, $2 Bill Josh. It is the legend of the Mallet's wrap-up, and that legend continues today. Welcome to the Mallet's Wrap-Up. That's right, where we are not afraid, embarrassed, or ashamed to play a little Hank Williams Jr. So glad that you could join us here on the Wrap-Up. We're waiting to connect with Mr. $2 Bill Josh, and as soon as he connects with us, we'll definitely be breaking down the Colts game. What a game yesterday. What did you think about Mr. Curtis Painter won his national start with the NFL? What a great game. I joining us now is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to tell everybody. I called it yesterday on the show. The Colts might not have got the blowout. I said Painter would have 300 yards, three touchdowns. He didn't quite get the other number, but he did have 282 yards, two touchdowns, and he set a record that Peyton Manning's never set, and he's been the starting quarterback for 14 years.
Oh, absolutely. A fantastic job and a fantastic showing by Curtis Painter. Obviously, there's still a lot of holes and a lot of things to work out. He connected very well with Pierre Corsant, and he's got to be able to spread that around a little bit. He's got to gel a little bit better with Reggie Wayne and Joseph Addai. But I think all that will come in time. Obviously, the Colts aren't ready to say that he's the official starter, but it was a great game. And I tell you what, I called 21-17. I just had it backwards, so I was close. And what a great game by both people, but really what a great showing by the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, overall, I think Curtis Painter did a great job. He certainly made and completed all the throws he had to. I think that, he missed some throws, but, you know, that's to be expected. And he was in a couple tight spots. But overall, Curtis Painter had a great job. And I don't know, did you see Foster go down, Josh? Man, I tell you what. It looked like his ankle was almost amputated. That was a injury. No faking that injury at all. That's what I tweeted. Josh, did you see that?
Yeah, I got a chance to see the entire game. It's a shame about Eric Foster and the defensive line and the offensive line. But I disagree with you on one thing, Tom.
What's
that? That was not a great showing by the Indianapolis Colts. Yes, they played good. They played solid football. Did they win? No, they didn't win, therefore it cannot be considered a great showing.
Well, you know, yeah, I guess we are tired of moral victories, and we'll certainly get into all of this on the gridiron. We've got more time to really break down the games and get into some actual discussions about the game. But when I say overall, we're 0-4. The thing is, they were inside the game the whole time. Curtis Painter led the team. You're right. Unfortunately, the Colts came up a drive short and fell to Tampa Bay 24-17. Like I said, Indy is now 0-4 for the first time since 1998. And I tell you what, the chances of getting into the playoffs aren't looking very good right now. But the Colts got out to a great start by scoring a field goal on their opening drive. The defense played with energy as well, as by the end of the first quarter, Indy owned a 10-0 lead, which was something that really we haven't been able to brag much about. However, in modern football, every team is equipped to make a comeback with shotgun formations and CD receivers. Obviously, they've got that. The Bucs' young and talented quarterback, Josh Freeman, certainly was making his national television debut, and he did not disappoint either. He made several big plays down the stretch of last night's game to put his team on top. Combined his effort with running back Blount, I tell you what, Blount is, I tell you what, he is a great player, and he's an up-and-coming star himself. And you can say the Bucks have an incredible 1-2 punch between Freeman and Blount, that's for sure. And Blount ran the ball with power all night long. It took several Colt players to bring him down on every carry. Blount finished the game with 127 yards and 25 carries. He also broke open for a long touchdown in the fourth quarter from 35 yards. That proved to be the difference in the game, Josh. All right, Josh, you watched the game. Let's break it down real quickly by the numbers. What did you see when you watched that Indianapolis Colts game last night?
Well, you can testify to this. I must have texted you this 15 times during the game. Our offensive line all of a sudden forgot how to pass block. They know how to run block now, which is weird because when Manny was there, they knew how to pass block but not run block. They need to protect Painter. A lot of Painter's incompletions were because he was trying to stay alive. He must have got sacked 5 times. Pierre Garçon dropped a couple passes. I thought overall Curtis Painter played pretty well. I don't know if you would agree with me, Tom, if I'm still on a one-man bandwagon. If the Colts don't happen to get the number one pick, and we don't happen to get Andrew Luck, I'm not ruling out the possibility that Curtis Painter could develop into maybe a Girard, a Cutler, a Kyle Orton. Maybe not a superstar quarterback, but certainly a serviceable starter. My question is, Tom, where are we going to find all these linemen by Sunday? Has your phone been ringing yet? Did the Colts ask you to try out yet?
I don't think the Colts want me to be a lineman, that's for sure. The best thing I can do is suit up for the 12th man, that's for sure. And I tell you one thing, though, Josh. I think Curtis Painter built a lot of confidence in his teammates last night. Pierre Garçon benefited the most from two excellent Painter play calls with Garçon on both of his catches, went at least 59 yards and scored both of Indy's touchdowns. The longer the two catches was that 87-yarder that we were talking about earlier, which was the fifth largest in franchise history and the longest since Peyton Manning completed an 86-yard touchdown strike on November 18th, 2001, against the Saints. But it was a career night for Garçon, and his previous multi-touchdown game came on December 9th, 2010, against the Titans. I tell you what, he had a heck of a game, and you know, there again, he allowed Curtis Painter to shine, and it was good. I'm sure that they're gelling better and better as they move along. So here's the thing. I mean, we've got to just take it one game at a time. I think the Colts are, if anything, I think the Colts are learning what they've done wrong and try to correct those problems. I think, you know, you mentioned about not being able to block. I don't know if you were referring to offensive blocks or what, but, I mean, I thought overall the defense came out again and, you know, certainly did a good job. You know, the thing is, the Colts certainly had their chances in this game. Of course, we talked about Foster's injury and you know, other injuries that came with it, and they're playing without Bullitt and Brackett. So, you know, those are all things that can hurt a defense, especially with the way our defense is built. I mean, but I think overall that the Colts, you know, had a pretty good defense. I think anyway they played incredibly hard as well. Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney, I thought they looked like a couple dogs out there. Isn't that what John Gruden said? They like to hunt in Indiana, and those guys are like some dogs. So yeah, they were really going after it last night. So, you know, I think there was a couple of huge plays toward the end there with 20 seconds remaining that forced a field goal. Second-year defensive end Jerry Hughes also did a good job. So I think the result was the same for Indy, but the team is getting better, Josh. And I guess that's what I mean by an overall showing. The team is definitely getting better. Well, this is the balanced wrap-up. Got a lot to wrap up, including some MLB that we've got wrapping up. Of course, we want to talk about the balanced gridiron that is coming up here, and we're going to be doing that again on Thursday. So, again, make sure that you tune in and find us on Facebook. Just search The Balance. Or, of course, you can follow us on Twitter or on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. We'll be right back on Blog Talk Radio with your wrap-up.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Girls, welcome back to the Balance Wrap Up. We've got a lot to wrap up, including the MLB. But quickly, before we get to that, Josh, winter is rapidly approaching, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or a storm or some storm damage? Called Dominion Home Builders now at 317-523-8414. DHB is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414. Or online, dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound and distinguished by excellence. Much like the Balance Wrap-Up, Josh. And we've got to really jump into the MLB, and I'm playing just a little ways away from with a Colts game last night over in St. Petersburg. Tampa Bay Rays against, well, Josh, talk to us a little bit about the Rays game last night and break down the MLB for us.
Well, last night Texas took it to Tampa Bay. It took a 2-1 lead, last I heard earlier today. Hopefully Tom can give us a final score. Texas was up over Tampa Bay again. I believe Texas went on to eliminate Tampa Bay from that playoff series. Cardinals-Phillies play today. St. Louis absolutely has to have a win. They cannot afford to go down 2-1 to the Philadelphia Phillies. If that happens, that series will be over. Tonight, Detroit is taking on the New York Yankees. With Detroit up 2-1. I believe Detroit has Pfister on the mound versus A.J. Burnett for the Yankees. Detroit's likely to wrap that series up tonight. And Milwaukee and Arizona play at 9:37. Milwaukee's up 2-0. I like the Diamondbacks. I like Kirk Gibson. I'm going to like him even more. Sources are true, and he is the next manager of the Red Sox. That's yet to be determined. But I believe Milwaukee's going to go ahead and sweep that series tonight 3-0. Do you know, Tom, did Texas go ahead and eliminate Tampa Bay just a few minutes ago?
Yeah, I believe that they did. I was just trying to get to that score while you were saying it. But Tampa Bay did win. I don't know exactly the score on that. We've got to plan this out a little bit better, Josh. I tell you, sometimes we just get the topics together and we don't know what scores we're going after, especially when we're both following the same games and trying to, you know, get going on what's going on. But yes, absolutely, today the Rangers beat the Rays 4-3, and the Yankees beat the Tigers 4-5. So I tell you what, that American League is really shaping up. And so tonight, I think it's currently, they're currently in the bottom of the fourth. It's the Phillies and the Cardinals, and they're all knotted up at zero. And, of course, tonight, again, I believe will be the Yankees and the Tigers. I said the Yankees earlier. The Yankees won yesterday, and the Yankees and the Tigers play again today. I apologize about that. At 8:30, and then, of course, tonight, Milwaukee and the Diamondbacks. And the Arizona Diamondbacks is a team that a lot of people aren't talking about right now, and the Milwaukee Brewers. Both of those teams are flying underneath the radar. Josh, what have you seen between these two teams?
Well, I really like Arizona. They're a really young, talented team. They play really hard. They play all nine innings. At the end of the day, though, Milwaukee's up 2-0 in that series simply because Milwaukee's more talented and they have better bats. You know, coming into this postseason, I thought these playoffs were going to be about who had the best pitching. Surprisingly, it's been about who's had the better bats in a given game. Now, we can sit here and have a debate. We don't have time today, whether it's pitching or bats that went in the playoffs. I think it's bats. Do you think it's hitting or pitching that went in the playoffs, Tom?
Well, I think pitching, obviously, because if you've got a good pitching roster and you're able to give your pitcher some rest, that goes a long ways in a very long playoff season with the baseball playoffs. And you know, here's the thing. It's going to get even longer if everybody gets their way next year. So, you know, we could be watching the Detroit Lions and the Detroit Tigers both on Thanksgiving Day if things keep going in the way they are now. But that's certainly another topic that we could talk about another time. But really, the baseball playoffs begin after 162 game season. Typically, that's the first 4 week in October, and eight teams make the playoffs. And for each American and National League, the three division champs and one wild card, the team with the best record that does not win a division qualify for the postseason. So if there's a tie in any of the divisions or the wild card, then there's a one game playoff in the day after to determine who advances from there. So bottom line, Josh, just to answer your question, when you have a long playoff situation, then yeah, pitching I think is huge. Whenever you can rest your pitchers, and the longer you can rest your pitchers in the postseason, the better you're going to be later on down the stretch. So absolutely, I think that pitching is the biggest thing in the playoffs in expanding them. Well, guys, you know, obviously we talked a little bit about the 2011 postgame season. And I tell you what, it's getting to be a pretty good breakdown in the National League Central, the National League as well. Josh, what are you seeing over there in the National League, and what do you expect to come out from there? Is there anybody that can stop these Phillies?
I think Milwaukee can. I think Milwaukee has decent pitching. They have a great offense. They're the underdogs. Philly seems to be struggling a little bit. They haven't been that impressive in either game. In fact, one could argue that the Cardinals had a chance to be up 2-0 in this series. They just didn't capitalize on their opportunities in game number one. So I think Milwaukee's going to go ahead and stop Philadelphia. I thought it was going to be St. Louis. Something's wrong there. I don't know if it's all the rumors of LaRusso's going here and he's going here and he's going there, if that's playing a part, or if it's just been simple luck the reason the Cardinals haven't been capitalizing. Any thoughts?
Well, they're playing the Phillies, first of all. And, I mean, and you got Pujols, who was removed from Saturday's game in the ninth inning with some pain in his ankle. And, you know, you have Matt Holliday, who left Tuesday night's game against the, against the Houston game. He had left. And so, you know, the thing is, whenever the Cardinals are dealing with injuries, and that's what they're dealing with right now, that seems to be the biggest problem that the Cardinals are facing. And, I mean, really, the Brewers and Diamondbacks are a a good matchup to watch these two teams go at it. Like I said, two teams that have kind of flown underneath the radar and really not underneath the radar all year long. So nobody's really surprised to see the Brewers there and to see the Diamondbacks there. But, you know, it's going to be a good series down in the standings or down to the last out. The Arizona Diamondbacks have found a way to rally all season long. I don't look for this to be any different. So, really, I think the team to watch over there in the National League is the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I think they certainly have a lot of opportunities to move forward. And it's going to be a great matchup. I think really in the championship series, it's going to be the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. As much as I like to see the Cardinals, I think if the Cardinals can beat the Phillies, they absolutely have an opportunity to go all the way. And I think over there in the American League, I just don't see anybody stopping the Texas Rangers. I think this is the year for them to be in the World Series and to show what they can do to the entire world in the World Series. All right, Josh, we have the Balanced Gridiron coming up live this Thursday night, 6 o'clock p.m. I mean, I'm sorry, 7 o'clock p.m. And we'll have our normal guests. And, of course, you never know who's going to stop by the show. And we've always – I like to break down our game of the week. Last week we talked about the Nebraska Cornhuskers and the Wisconsin Badgers. Real quickly, Josh, what did you think about that game?
Wisconsin is the real deal. And for all of you people like Tom, and I know Tom hates – no, maybe Tom detests the BCS Championship Series. This year it looks like we could have an undefeated team from the Big 12, from the Big 10, from the ACC, the SEC, and the Pac-10. Tom, if that happens, do you think there's any chance the BCS survives after this year?
I think there's going to be a lot of that going on, Josh. I think the BCS is going to stand no matter what because of the money that's involved in the BCS bowls. And especially with all the shaking and baking of the divisions, I think that absolutely the BCS stands through the thick and thin. I've not seen anybody anything that comes up that says that you know that the BCS will be going away anytime soon at all. Okay, Josh, what's our game of the week this week?
We're going to talk about Oklahoma Texas is our game of the week, and also on the gridiron, we're going to talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Tom, they are in more major trouble. Not dealing with Tattoo Gate. Now they have a whole new series of things that just happened last weekend.
Right. So another reason why you guys do not want to miss the Balanced Gridiron. It is 2 hours of us talking more sports than you can possibly. It's like the Thanksgiving dinner of sports. There is more and more and more to come. There is so much sports that we talk about. Your belly is so full at the end of 2 hours, and your brain is just, you know it all. You can literally go to work on Friday, stand there at the water cooler and say, wow. And I hope you guys do that. Log on right here, Blog Talk Radio. You know how to find us. Also find us on the website, www.thebalanceonline.com. And also follow us on Twitter. Stalk us on Facebook. Just search The Balance. And I know there's a lot of exciting things going on. And as you know very well, Josh, we have Gary Snyder, the Gary Snyder Show on, and we're really in a lot of talks on how we can help each other make the show better. So, guys, you do not want to miss what's coming up in the next few months as the Balanced Gridiron is growing more and more and more, and we're so glad that our listeners have been a part of it. All right, Josh, Friday night, we've got the Balanced Pep Rally. We do that every single Friday night. We break down high school football in Central Indiana, and we kind of take a look at a lot of games around Central Indiana. Myself and $2 Bill Josh and Gary Snyder, we really take a look at what's going on in the high school football arena. Josh, what are some of the games that we're covering this week in the Balanced Pep Rally?
Well, we're always going to cover Warren Central, Carmel, and Ben Davis as long as they're the top three ranked teams in the state, regardless of class. We're also going to talk some Ritter, some Speedway. Hopefully we can get somebody to call in from down in Evansville. We can talk some Evansville high school football. They got a couple of good teams down there. We're going to talk Huntington North like we do every single Friday night. And Tom's going to pull some game that neither me nor Gary has ever even knew was playing that night out of his hat on Friday night. Stay tuned for that as Tom puts me and Gary on the spot.
That's right. You never know what I'll pull out of my magic hat of tricks on the pep rally. And, of course, we've always got the hot dog report, so certainly want to make sure that you guys tune into the Balanced Pep Rally. That's every Friday night, 6 o'clock. All right, guys, I'm going to tell you what. Tonight's the night to watch some good baseball. It's the season to watch some good baseball and some good football games. This is the time of year to be a sports fan, even if, and you know what, we're going to really get into more of this, Josh, on the gridiron. But even if you're a Hank Williams Jr. fan, we have something for you. You know, so I want to, well, certainly when we have more time to break that down. ESPN pulls the plug, and all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. All I can say as a preview to my rant on Thursday, ESPN, you knew what you were getting into. You created the relationship. Come on, give me a break. And we'll certainly get into that really great detail on the Balanced Gridiron this Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. All the more reason why you do not want to miss that? Why you do not want to miss that? The Balanced Gridiron on Thursday. Now we're talking a little bit real quickly. I wanted to make sure that we threw this out there. We're talking about Tony La Russa, and he has actually been fined. And there again, this is something else we're going to get into on the Balanced Gridiron on a little bit anyway. Obviously, we have a lot of time devoted to football on that show. But one of the things we do want to make sure that we talk about is, St. Louis Cardinals manager Tony La Russa was fined for criticizing an umpire on TV, Josh. Cardinals manager Tony La Russa said he deserved to be fined for criticizing an umpire in a televised interview during a playoff game. The Major League Baseball fined La Russa an undisclosed amount of money for his remarks Sunday night early in the game against Philadelphia. La Russa told TBS that the plate umpire Jerry Mills had two different strike zones, prefacing his remarks that he knew there might be some disciplinary action. So, we'll certainly get into that. And, of course, La Russa also had a few choice words for Mills after the umpire came up to break up a mound conference between him and Chris Carpenter. So, obviously, that's something that we're really going to get into and dive into with the St. Louis Cardinals. And hopefully, by Thursday, they're still alive in this playoff. Again, bottom of the fourth, tied up at zero against the Philadelphia Phillies. Josh, 1 minute timeout.
Coming up on Thursday, we're going to have a breast cancer survivor on the show. And also, I'm going to encourage everybody in my rant to do something for someone else other than themselves. And Tom, I also wanted to let you know that on behalf of the Balance today, I donated $100 to support the cause in the fight against breast cancer. So this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Well, that's fantastic, and we'll certainly get into that on Thursday. We do have a very exciting guest lined up that's going to give us their story about surviving breast cancer. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us for tonight. You are wrapped up for October the 4th, 2011.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
There were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Well, bro,